Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Creeps, Creatures, and Haunts.
Oh, my.
In today's episode, we're going to be talking about five more spooky places in the state of Ohio. Now, if you missed the first video, we did do a top 10 video, but basically every comment on the video was, what about this place?
Yeah.
So we decided to do two top five videos. So this will be like part two to the first one, which was 10, and there'll be a part three, which is the other five. So that way we can just talk about them a little bit more. Now, if you are watching this in video form, there will also be a podcast, which will have like an extended.
Yeah.
So it'll be extended things like this for the video form will be cut up a little bit more. So if you're interested in the podcast, it's on all major podcasting platforms. Again, it's called Creeps, Creatures, and Haunts. Oh my. You probably don't have to type out the oh my part. But yes. So we haven't made a thing for a little while. There were, if you're like a follower of the channel and that kind of thing, there were like many plans that we had talked about doing this year. So I just wanted to give like a little update. We will not be making a haunted house documentary this year. There's just no way I have time for that. There's been a lot going on in like personal work life type of things. And like, we still want to make videos. It's just been harder for me to edit them and stuff like that. So I'm just going to try to have one video a week for at least the next couple months, and we do still plan on going to all the haunted houses in September and October. I plan on trying to go to as many as last year, if not as many, still close to as many.
Yeah.
So we still plan on doing all of that content, and eventually I would like to make another haunted house documentary in the future, but with just everything going. It's hard to believe that this year is halfway over already.
Right.
Like, and that we're only 2 months away from when, because now everything starts like early September.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, after we've done filming these podcasts, we're going to go book our trip for Universal Halloween Horror Nights. So it's kind of hard to believe that it's getting close to that time anymore. But yeah, so the first one that we did of these were places that we had mostly been to. Now, I don't think a lot of the place on this part two and then part three, I don't think we've been to a lot of them. They're places, a lot of these places are places we'd like to go.
Yeah. Some places actually don't exist anymore.
Yeah, there's going to be a couple defunct haunted locations, I guess, if you will.
But they've been supposedly some of the most haunted places. But unfortunately, you cannot access them anymore. So, but we're going to talk about them anyway.
Yes. And before we get into those places, you know, again, it's very much appreciated if you are liking and subscribing to the channel. If you're listening to the podcast, of course, make sure you're subscribing. If it's Apple Podcast specifically, leave us a 5-star review because, like, no other platform allows for that anymore. So leave a 5-star review if you're listening on Apple Podcast. And we also have a Patreon. So if you want to help support us and make it easier for me to be able to make more content, then, you know, go over there and join us there.
Join
us. That being said, though, I will let Kim kick it off with our first creepy place in Ohio.
All right. So this is actually a still working bed and breakfast. It's called Buxton Inn. And actually, they kind of promote the spookiness of the place because one of the most notorious spirits at this bed and breakfast is a cat.
It's a cat. Yep. Ghost cat.
Ghost cat. And it's actually on their sign. If you look at their sign, it actually has a little cat on the sign and everything like that. Which I think that's kind of fun.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
It actually was part of the Underground Railroad. So you got all that fun stuff going on there. And then, of course, the ghost cat. Someday I would like to go there because it's not too far from where I live.
It's closest to Cleveland, this place
is. Yeah, it's in Granville.
Okay.
Which isn't that, it's fairly close.
Oh, yes, it says it's like Columbus-ish area. Yeah,
so one of these days we'll hopefully get there. The former owner, like the person who built it, he's supposed to also haunt the location. But it's mostly the cat and anybody that stayed there during the Underground Railroad and things like that. So
people say what, like they like feel like the cat like laying down beside them.
Yeah, night. Like rubbing, you know how you get like the cats rubbing on your legs, things like that. They hear cat sounds, all that fun stuff. Meows, lots of meows.
It says one of the inn's former owners, Ethel Bonnie Houston, became known as the Lady in Blue after her apparition was spotted in a light blue dress a few times. Venezuela says the ghost is known to evoke the scent of gardenias.
Ooh.
Dead people tend to like to make the scent of flowers a lot, I feel like.
Flowers and tobacco of some sort.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know, like, my grandma, when they used to think that she was walking around the house, like, smell like roses and stuff. Mm-hmm. But she did like rose perfume. I think it was that era. At least gardenias. Oh, I hate the smell of roses.
Yeah.
It's one of my least... It's such a pungent...
Yeah, it's not one of my least favorite
things. Yeah, I am not a big fan of it, but yeah, the place doesn't seem to have like any like super negative energy. There's just some like spirits and stuff that live there, and I think it would be fun. I've never stayed at a like a haunted bed and breakfast. And I know there's another place that I think we're going to talk about that'll be in part 2. That's like a haunted bed and breakfast, but which is really close to us. I would like to stay in one sometime. I think it'd be fun to like just have like an overnight, like, because like, yes, a lot of the places we go, you are allowed to stay there overnight, but I don't want to sleep on some scary looking mattress, like that's scarier than what the ghost might be. But if I was staying in a place that's actually like a nice hotel and like your room just might be haunted, like that's different.
Yeah. Like, I know a lot of these B&Bs are set up so it's like basically like you're in your own bedroom, you know, like it's supposed to set up like that. Not really more like a hotel, but more like, you know, welcome home. This is your room. You know, this is how you're, how it was made that way or whatever.
But I imagine also with like all the Airbnbs that are out there now, like some of these Airbnbs are probably haunted.
Probably.
Like, just like stay in an Airbnb and like get haunted.
Probably. Yeah.
I mean, some of them are really nice, but some of them are just people's like old ass homes.
Yeah.
That's interesting. If there's anybody ever that's listening, ever stayed in an Airbnb that's been haunted and like you didn't know it, you're like, I'm just going to go stay at this place. And then, like, creepy things. Surprise. Yeah, I've never used an Airbnb because it just the thought of it freaks me out. Like some of it are just houses that or an apartment that you get to yourself, but the ones like where there's like people that own the house and you're just renting out a room of their home. The thought of it's so weird to me. I don't even like doing that with family, like going to a family member's house and staying in the guest room. It's like weird to me. I don't like it. I like being in my own thing or like my own space. So the fact that I know that I'm just a stranger in someone's home, just sleeping in one of their rooms is so off-putting to me. But I know a lot of people really, that's the only thing they do now. They don't even do hotels anymore. They just do the
Which I think is weird. I've read too many horror stories about people going to Airbnbs and there being like hidden cameras and like the guy like snuck in the middle of the night. Horror movie about things like that.
Like last month, it was weird. I forget what it was called, but yeah, ew, no thank you.
Yeah, it just kind of freaks me out. Like I don't want to.
It's freaky, but so that's that. On to the next spooky place.
All right,
number 4. I don't think we're ranking these in any order, are we?
No.
We'll save a dark one for last, though. Okay. There's a couple dark ones. Let's save a dark one for last. Like,
okay.
Like
one that we think we can is do that.
Super spooky.
Yeah, so the super spooky one is the last one.
Okay, cool.
The next one is Fairport Harbor Lighthouse.
Speaking of ghost cats.
And a ghost cat!
it's the theme of the episode.
It's the theme of the episode. Not really. Well...
I think that's the only two.
No, the other one has dogs.
Oh, well... Yeah. Either way.
Yeah, whatever. So Fairport Harbor Lighthouse is supposed to be haunted, of course, by, like, you know, lightkeepers that have been there. Of course, a cat that likes to jump on the bed and run around and, you know, rub on your legs. Like, I own you now, you know, whatever.
Catch it.
Yeah, doing cat stuff. They did actually find a mummified remains of a cat.
Yeah.
There in 2001. So, I mean,
because people have been reporting it before then. Like, they had said, oh, you know, people had thought they saw like the ghost of a cat and jumping on the bed and all of that. And then, they found it in 2001 when doing renovations.
Yeah.
So, I think that's kind of cool. Like, anytime that like something is happening and like people think they see something and then there's something that like, in a way,
validates
that claim, that's always a little more convincing to me.
Mm-hmm. That's what I like doing, like, when we go to places and I'll ask them and be like, hey, so did they have cats here or did they have, you know, this happened here? Because if I have an experience, like, I went to some place and I kept feeling a cat rubbing on my leg. And the place actually used to be a nursing home and a hospital and stuff like that. And I guess when it was the nursing home, they did have resident cats. And I asked one of the people that was that were running it, and I said, hey, did they used to have cats here? And she's like, yeah. And people have reported the cat numerous times. So, I mean, it's not an unusual, obviously, because there's like numerous places that have cat apparitions. So,
and like, there's other people that supposedly died here. Like there's an 1889, I guess a 14-year-old named Robbie died. But then the other sources put his age at only 5. That's a pretty big age difference. And they think he died from smallpox.
Wow. Yeah, so, I mean, well, with lighthouses, you always have, like, reports of, like, people passing away there, you know, not suspiciously, but, like, just, like, from loneliness or something like that.
Robert Pattinson pleasuring himself in the tower.
Oh, gosh. Thanks. I needed that. I needed that. Oh, it's not even the image. Movie. It's the noise.
Yeah, that movie. That was an experience to see in theater with surround sound. If you haven't watched The Lighthouse, it may or may not be for you, but you it's should give it a shot. But, it's a good movie, but it's surreal to say the least.
Yeah.
It's there's some scenes in that movie that I'll let you explore.
Oh, enjoy. But
yeah, they made Robert Pattinson not attractive at all. So if
you
are a fan of Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, if you're like a Twihard or whatever the fuck they're called. This is not
probably going to be something that you like. Mm. But yeah, let's see. What else? The owner of the cat, Mary Babcock, fell critically ill shortly after Robbie's death. So her son, bedridden in the keeper's quarters, she kept cats to help pass the long days. Sentinel, a gray cat her husband found in the lighthouse basement, became her constant companion, and after Baddock died, the gray cat disappeared. And I think that is probably the cat that they believe. Yeah.
The cat's in the museum. It says the leathery cat is in the museum. Ew!
Oh, yeah, the one they found in the walls. So, there you go. So you can go see the ghost cat, and you can also see the leathery cat found in the walls that is probably the spirit. So, that's actually kind of interestingly morbid that you can go possibly experience the ghost of something you can actually then see then the physical body of.
Physical body.
Because you don't get that much, because obviously, like, in a place that's haunted by a person, you don't get to go see their remains and then, like, see their ghost. So it's kind of actually eerie to me that, like, you might experience that while the body is in the place.
Yeah, that's
weird. That's really creepy, actually. Yeah. All right, what do we got for number 3?
We got Lima Tuberculosis Hospital.
Oh, yeah, this place is just, which this actually, are you going to talk about this place for number 1?
Yes.
Okay, cool, because actually, there's a tie-in with this place and that place. So,
is there?
Yes,
there is. Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
We'll talk about it when we get there. But anyways.
Oh, is that, okay. I didn't know that was the place. Okay.
Yeah, because Kim learned something new.
Okay, yeah, look at that, more you know, rainbow. So Lima Tuberculosis Hospital, of course, big, creepy tuberculosis. See, this is the stuff you aren't going to probably get in the video.
Probably not in the video.
This will be the podcast shit.
Yeah.
Tuberculosis hospitals are notorious for being, like, super haunted. I mean, you got, like, Waverly Hills, you got Molly Stark. You know, there's just always something about that. Because, I mean, you basically have these people going in there, and a lot of them don't come out, you know. And tuberculosis is a really bad illness to get. I mean,
there's still not even a cure for it. Like they did, obviously, with the vaccination and that. But, like, if you get it, you just have it. Like, they do have, like, things to suppress it now. But, like, there's not a way to, like, cure yourself still, I don't think.
You just always have it.
Yeah, it's just a thing you get now.
But yeah, this place was opened from 1911 to 1973. And of course, like most places, you know, they see, you know, shadow figures and, you know, people walking around and things like that. It is very decrepit and creepy and overgrown. Do not try to get into the place because the person that owns the property will call the cops, like, instantly. Yeah. If he sees anybody near it. Like, if you, like, slow your car by it, he's like, got the phone like at the ready, you know. So I highly recommend, do not try to get into this place.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I feel like the ghost of this, I didn't see anything, like, specifically, and I'm sure there are specific ghosts, of course, yeah. But it's mainly just, you know, people that have went in, mm-hmm. seen shadow figures darting around, just your typical, like, that, just kind of, like, seeing stuff, hearing things. Yeah, yeah I mean, I can't imagine if hauntings are real, if ghosts are real, like, and you believe that, like, tragic events cause hauntings, tuberculosis hospitals seem like the number one spot.
Yeah, really. Tuberculosis hospitals and insane asylums, I mean, are your two places that you're always going to find tragedy, because, I mean, it's a tragic way to die.
Yeah, it's very painful, very drawn out.
Yeah, and plus, back in the day, they were doing experiments on people.
So not only were you sick, like, imagine, like, the sickest you've ever felt, and then someone just torturing you as well.
Yeah, they're like, oh, hey, we're going to try to make you breathe better, so we're going to remove some ribs while you're awake.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Exactly. And you're like, I guess. And then it doesn't work, and they're like, oops.
It's just... Sorry. It's really insane, like, early medical stuff, like... Mm. The stuff, I mean, but that's the kind of shitty thing, is, like, that's how we know a lot of stuff now, is by just trial and error, like, well, let's just fuck them up a little bit and see if it helps. Oh, it didn't. Oopsie doopsies. Like, I mean, literally, that's like, yeah. Like,
quite literally, you're not wrong at all.
Yeah, like, no. It's...
It was all, yeah, it's terrifying. Trial and error.
The thought of that is way more terrifying than even thinking about a spirit, so, you know, obviously, if you do go to places like this, I would recommend that you... don't provoke, more than likely.
Yeah.
Like, you probably respect, because if there are spirits, you know, then they are probably already not super... the spirits aren't in good spirits. but, yeah. Super creepy-looking place. Wish was something we'd get into, but I don't think that's a thing. So...
Yeah.
Nope. All right. So, what is our number... Yeah, number two. Yeah, we're on number two.
It is Old Licking County Jail. Yeah.
A place that actually, I think, does do paranormal investigations.
They do. They actually have a haunted house as well.
Yeah, they stopped it last year, but they're bringing it back this year, so I would like to try and go to that. That's another one.
Yes.
Let's keep setting up, man.
I know. The list is just ginormous. So it was built in 1889. So it's, of course, a jail. So, of course, you're going to have, like, inmates and things like that. The biggest... haunting, though, there is Carl Etherington, who was a prohibition officer that was lynched after he killed a saloon owner in self-defense. He went there to bust up the saloon, and the saloon owner basically attacked him, and he shot him and killed the saloon owner, and the townsfolk didn't like that very much, because you just took away our person that was giving us liquor. And they literally went and grabbed him out of the jail, because he was at the jail because of it, even though they said it was going to be self-defense and he was going to get released. The townsfolk went in, grabbed him, and lynched him. And he is supposed to be one of the major people that haunts the jail there. So, I mean, that's pretty awful that you were just doing your job and people were like...
And he was, what, 17? He was only 17 years old?
Yeah, he was young. He was really young.
But, like, what people they experience things like door slamming, you know, your disembodied voices, dark figures... it says workmen have reported being disrupted by loud screaming to the point where they had to turn their music up to drown the unnerving sounds out. So you're just working in a place, you're like, man, these ghostly screams are so loud, I better turn up my music. Like, why do you leave? I don't know. I would
probably be like, hey, could you shush up a little bit? Like, we're trying to work.
That's crazy to me. Like, all the screams are just so loud, we need to turn our music up. But yeah, this is some place that we definitely... want to go to. There are a lot of, like, YouTube videos and stuff from other paranormal investigators out that have went to this place. It's fairly popular. Paranormal Quest, it says. They're a pretty popular YouTube channel.
Steve from the museum.
So, but eventually we plan to have an episode. I don't know if we'll get around to it this year or not, but Yeah.
Yeah.
Check that out. Because we do have one coming up. Where are we investigating?
We are going to Greenville Manor, which is actually a fairly new place that just opened up a couple years ago. So I'm kind of excited to go there because I've heard that there's a lot of really interesting stuff that happens there. So
it's a place that I don't think there's going to be a lot of, I don't think any of the big paranormal shows have been there yet. So hopefully.
No, not yet.
We get some cool stuff. If not, I'm sure at least the building will be cool and we'll do what we usually do. If you said, obviously, if you like haunted places, do make sure to check out our series called Haunted Adventures. But on to number one. And like I said, we wanted to save like kind of a dark, messed up one for last. And this place fits that criteria. So
it's a kind of a two-part thing because there is Malabar Farm, which is a huge land, acres and acres of land. And there's a main building, which is the was built by Lewis Bromfield, which is a famous author. And he actually haunts that house, as well as his daughter, who may or may not have been on the spectrum. She seemed to have had issues. And then also, Lewis Bromfield loved boxer dogs, and he had like a million of them. And I actually did have an experience with one of the dogs.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I firmly believe that that place is haunted by those dogs.
What was your experience?
So I went there some years ago with my ex, and we went for they had a ghost hunting night, and they did like, it was kind of cheesy. It was one part like a tour, and then they took us to the cemetery, and they had reenactment actors dressed as the people that they were standing on the graves of, which was really strange. And they like told their story and stuff like that. And then they took us back to the house, and we were allowed to investigate the house. It was my ex and another couple, and we were walking around in like one of the bedrooms. And it was two twin beds, kind of like, you know, sitting next to each other. And there was like a nightstand here. Well, I came around the first bed, and I was going to put something on the nightstand to kind of try to trigger something. And as I'm walking around into the middle of the bed, I heard a dog growl at me like I was invading its space or like I stepped on it or something. And I just heard a grrr like that. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. And the other guy that was with us, he heard it, too. He's like, I heard that. And I'm like, it was a dog. And he's like, yeah, it was a dog growling at you. And that was just freaky. That was the freakiest thing that happened all night. But it actually really confirmed the fact that those dogs haunt that house. I mean, they even have beds and toys out for them.
That's fun.
That's how much they think that those dogs are there, is they have that stuff there for them. And sometimes they do find the toys in different spots than what they left them the day before. So they're obviously playing with it. But the big thing, and I would love to get into this house. Unfortunately, they don't allow people in there.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks.
Sometimes it says, do they sometimes, or is it just never?
Well, they just recently purchased it. It was privately owned.
Oh, okay.
So they just recently purchased it, so it is part of the actual Malabar Farm Park, which is what the whole main thing is called.
Yeah.
It is the Seely Rose House. Seely Rose was a girl that lived there with her family. And she fell in love with a neighbor boy who his parents didn't approve of her.
Yeah. So what was her reaction?
Her reaction was, I'm going to poison my parents.
With arsenic.
With arsenic.
Yeah.
So she proceeded to take arsenic and mix it into cottage cheese. Her father died the next day. He had so much cottage cheese that he croaked the next day. Her brother hung on for about a week, and he died a week later. And then the mother actually recovered, and she tried to actually cover it up that Seely did this. And Seely was still pissed at her and killed her a month later with more arsenic in cottage cheese.
See, I would have been safe because cottage cheese is the devil.
Like, wouldn't you learn, like, oh, I better, you know, this cottage cheese is sus. I better not eat it.
Yeah, then you don't eat the cottage cheese that killed the rest of your family. I don't know. Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, it also does say, like, details vary significantly from story to story. But still, I mean, overall. And I think I was wrong. It was Lima State Hospital for Criminally Insane. I do believe they were. They're both defunct facilities, but I do believe they were different facilities. Well, there's a lot of places that we've been to that were like a TB hospital, but then like when TB kind of stopped being serious,
they were turned into something else.
But yeah. I do believe they were two different buildings. But she did go to Lima State Hospital, so it was still Lima, but it was for the criminally insane. She died there in 1934, a day after her 61st birthday. She's actually buried in the hospital graveyard. I wonder where that is, if it's accessible. I would like to take a trip there.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea. We'll have to go look for that.
Yeah, we'll have to see where that is. Maybe have a little like mini episode out of that. But yes, so there were five more haunted places in Ohio. And again, the following week, next Friday, there will be another episode. Again, both the shorter form, the four-door video, where there'll be like pictures and stuff like that. And there'll be the longer form podcast where we talk a little bit more about personal experiences. Because if you're just watching, this is the video, I'm going to cut out a lot of like the personal experiences and stuff and just kind of keep it down to brass tacks of like, this is a list, this is what goes on there. And here's just a little bit of history. So if you want to hear longer form, which is probably going to be about a half hour long in total, I would go check out the podcast. But yes, and again, make sure to like, subscribe. Also, Kim's favorite part, make sure you ring the notification bell.
I think I'm going to do the cowbell today.
So you don't miss any future upcoming videos. And thank you very much. Oh yeah, and check out our merch store. We have that. I forgot to talk about it at the beginning. But we have a merch store. Check that out. We have a whole bunch of shit on there. But anyways, thank you very much for watching. And we will see you guys in the next episode.
Bye. No!